through 4. Miss Paige, I don't know what you've done to that baby. Yeah. But it was from the time spent with you. That's what it is. Auburn fan, is that what it is? Wow. The scripture says, and again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of 4. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you again for this day, and we thank you for the opportunity that we have to be here at church. And Lord, I'm very thankful for this church, very thankful for the faithful, loyal members of this church, the ones that do so much. Thankful, Lord, for the wonderful spirit, and just thankful for a place where we can come and meet, can sing songs of praise and spend time in your word. And Lord, I ask that you please minister now through your word as it's preached. Help me through the power of your Holy Spirit to say exactly what you want said, and I pray that each one of us would have ears to hear and hearts to receive the message that you have for us. Lord, whatever changes need to be made, I pray we'd make them. Lord, please forgive me where I failed you. Fill me with your spirit now, I pray, in Christ's name, amen. Amen. In the verses we just read, Mark tells us about 4 men whose names were not given, who brought another man who was sick of the palsy to the Lord Jesus Christ. And in verse number 4, we see that in order to accomplish their goal of getting this man the healing that he needed, they had to get up on the roof of the house where Jesus was. In other words, they had to get to or on another level in order to accomplish their goal, in order to get this man to Jesus. They could not stay on the ground. They could not stay down with the multitude and accomplish their goal of getting this man to the Lord Jesus Christ. And with that in mind, I'm going to preach a message this morning from this text titled, Getting to the Next Level. Getting to the Next Level. And I'm going to spiritualize this true story in order to show us believers what it takes to get to the next level in our spiritual lives, or to get to the next level in our walk and relationship with the Lord. Before I go any further, I want to say, as I've mentioned many times before, that it should be our desire to get to the next level in our spiritual lives, irregardless of what level we're on now. We should desire to get to the next level. Amen. Irregardless of what level we're on now, we should want to take that next step. We should want to press on the upward way and get to the next level in our spiritual lives. We should never, ever be satisfied where we are. Never contented with the level of spirituality that we have attained to in our lives at this point. Our goal, our desire should always be to move to that next level in our spiritual lives. And I want to show you from this passage here 4 things that it takes for a believer to move to the next level. First of all, I want to say this, and I want to begin here because I believe this is the most important. But I want to say first of all this morning that in order for you and I to take that next step, to get to the next level, we have to have the Scripture. We have to have the Scripture. And this is something that I've dealt with on other occasions, and I've told you that as long as I have breath in me, as long as God gives me a platform to preach, I'm going to let people know the value and the importance of the Word of God in their lives. So I want you to understand, first of all, that if you're going to move to that next level, you've got to have the Scripture. Look at verse number 1 again. The Bible says, and again, and it says again because we read from chapter 1 that he had previously visited Capernaum. So again, he, the Lord Jesus, entered into Capernaum after some days. This is a return visit, you might say. And the Bible says it was noised that he was in the house. What that means simply is that word got around. Word spread. The news spread that Jesus was back in town and that he was back in the house. And the house it's referring to, according to chapter 1 and verse number 29, was the home of Simon Peter and his brother Andrew. That's where the Lord Jesus Christ would stay whenever he came to Capernaum. So when he comes for this return visit, he goes into their house and word begins to spread. Word gets around. And these people hear that Jesus Christ is in the house. So these people, these four men, got a word. Now, I don't know who it was that told them. Maybe they heard from a specific individual, or perhaps they heard from several different individuals. I don't know. But these four men got a word. They got a word that ultimately led to them getting to the next level. You understand that without getting this word, without hearing that Jesus was in the house, they would never have got to the next level. Without hearing that Jesus was in the house, they would never have thought to pick up their friend or this man who was sick of the palsy and make the trip over to this house so that they could bring this man to the Lord Jesus. They would never have done any of that had they not heard that Jesus Christ was in the house. They got a word. And again, I'm spiritualizing the text, but I believe that in order for you and I to move to that next level, we have to get a constant, consistent, steady word from Almighty God. We've got to have it. This is why it is essential that you and I saturate our minds, our hearts, our spirits, our entire beings with the Word of God. It is through the Word of God that we grow. Amen. The Bible says we're to desire the sincere milk of the Word that we may grow thereby. Do you understand? I hope you understand. There will never, and I mean never, I'm not exaggerating when I say what I'm saying. I'm not trying to be overly emphatic. I'm telling you the gospel truth. There will never be any growth in your life as a believer apart from the Word of God. It cannot happen. You and I must have the Scripture. It is through the Scripture that we grow. It is through the Scripture that we learn what we need to learn about ourselves. You realize the Bible is likened unto a mirror in the book of James? You know why we look in mirrors? Because we want to get a reflection of ourselves. We want to see what we look like. Amen. If you look into a mirror, that mirror will let you know some things about yourself. It'll let you know how you look. If your hair's the way you want it, or your tie's the way you want it, or your clothes are the way you want them to be. That's what that mirror will do for you. And when you look into the Word of God, what it's called is the perfect law of liberty. When you look into the perfect Word of God, it will show you the things that you need to know about yourself for you to take that next step to move to the next level in your lives. There's some things that we have to learn about ourselves. Some truth that we have to learn about ourselves. And let's be honest, speaking of truth, let's be honest and admit that what we see when we look into the perfect law of liberty, what we see about ourselves is not always real glamorous. Amen. Sometimes it kind of hurts, to be honest. You've heard the old adage or expression, the truth hurts. Sometimes the truth of the Word of God hurts. This thing is a two-edged sword that'll open you up, friend. It'll cut you and it'll reveal what's on the inside of you. It will show you the truth about yourself. And many times what you learn, what you see there, is not going to be very good. But it's essential that you learn that about yourself so that you can take the next step or move to the next level in your life. It's through the Word of God that we learn about ourselves. It's through the Word of God that we learn about the Lord. The things we need to know about Him in order to grow and take ourselves by His grace to that next level. This is why we need to read the Bible. Read the Bible. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 1, blessed is he that readeth this prophecy. Every Christian that's able ought to read the Bible. We need to read the Bible. We need to study the Word of God. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. You and I need to study what God has to say. Amen? We need to read it. We need to study it, dig down into it. We need to search the Scriptures daily, as the Bible says. We need to position ourselves to where we can listen to the Word of God being preached and being taught. I noticed here in verse number 2, if you'll look there, the Bible says that after word got around, many were gathered together insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And the Bible says this is what Jesus did. He preached the Word unto them. He preached the Word. He didn't have a party. He didn't even offer pizza. Didn't offer hot dogs. He didn't have some woman up dancing in leotards. Didn't have a circus in the church. Did he? He didn't have any of this modern day contemporary nonsense that's going on in our churches. He didn't have any of that stuff. You know what he did? He looked out at a sea of people that gathered around him and he said, you know what? This is a perfect opportunity to preach the Word of God. And that's what he did. What's wrong with just coming to church and sitting down and listening to the preaching of the Word of God? What is it that has caused us in our minds to think that we got to have more? What is it that's caused us to think that when we come to church, we've got to be entertained? That we can't go to a church unless they offer some form of entertainment that has now taken the place of the simple, powerful, Spirit-filled preaching of the Word of God? What is wrong with us that we think that way? Folks, when we come to church, we ought not be coming here to have a party. That's not what it's about. You ought to come here with a hunger and a thirst in your heart to sit and listen to the Word of God so that hopefully you can learn something about yourself and learn something about God so that you can take that next step in your spiritual life. That's what it's about. We need the Scripture. Got to have it. I promise you, without the Word, you will never move from where you are right now. It's not going to happen. You can neglect the Bible, and I fear that so many Christians do that. We've just got so much on our plate. You hear all these expressions, I guess got too much on my plate, got too many irons in the fire. We got all these country sayings for everything, don't we? Too many irons in the fire, too much on the plate. Just too busy, just too busy, just too busy. I ain't got time to pray, ain't got time to read my Bible, and on and on and on. We got time to do all this other stuff. And I've said to you, I mean it, if you are so busy with your life and your family and all this other stuff that you can't make time to spend in the Bible, you're too busy. You need to rearrange some priorities. There's some stuff that you need to let go so that you can devote more time to your spiritual development, which has to come about through a consistent study of the Word of God. Without it, you cannot go to that next level. Number one, you got to have the Scripture. Let me give you these others here. Number two, I want to say a second thing that it takes to go to the next level in your life is sacrifice. It takes the Scripture and it takes sacrifice. I look at this passage here, especially verses 3 and 4. And I see some men that had to make some sacrifices. They had to make some sacrifices to get to that next level. You know what would have been easy for these four men? When they heard that Jesus was back in town and he was in the house, you know what would have been easy for them? Just to take off. Just each one of them just to go along with the rest of the crowd and go down to where Jesus was and see what they could get for themselves. That would have been the easiest. They could have got there a whole lot faster. They would have got there without having to exert a whole lot of energy. They could have got there quickly like many of the other people did to try to get them a good seat, to get positioned where that maybe they could get what they needed or what they desired for themselves. I can assure you that the vast majority of the ones that showed up on this occasion did not come there because they wanted to hear a sermon preached. Now that's what they got, but the majority of them didn't come for that reason. The mass of them came because they heard about Jesus being there. They had heard about the things they had done. They thought, man, here's a need I have in my life, and if I can get down there, maybe he'll do for me what I've heard he's done for all these other people. And it would have been real easy for them four guys just to think about themselves. This is what I need in my life. This is what I want. But you know what they did? They took the time. They took the time to go to wherever this man was who was sick of the palsy and pick him up. And I'm going to go out on a limb here. I don't know this for a fact, and I'm giving you that disclaimer up front. It is possible, though, that this man was heavy because he's sick of the palsy, he's crippled, he can't do anything. He's what you and I would refer to as bedridden, right? This is a man that's been laying on this cot, this bed, for who knows how long, doing no physical exertion or activity. It's very possible, at least, that he was a heavy man. And I tell you another reason why I think he might have been heavy. Took four people to tote him. You think about that? I mean, if he didn't weigh but 100 pounds, a couple of guys could have picked him up and got him on down there pretty easy, right? It took four grown men picking him up and carrying for him to get from where he was to where Jesus was at. It's likely the fellow was heavy. But heavy or not, it took energy on their part. It took them sacrificing time to get the man from where he was to where they wanted him to be. And then think about this. When they finally did get to the house, there's such a mob of folk, they can't even get the man in to where Jesus Christ is at. So guess what they do? They take him up on the roof. Now, folks, y'all know as well as I do, some of you know even more so than myself, that when you're trying to get something up, that's a lot more difficult than trying to get it down, right? When you're going down, gravity helps out a lot. That gravity will help you, even if you're dealing with something heavy. I mean, sure enough heavy. It's a lot easier to get it down than it is to get it up. So if this guy is heavy at all, got any weight to him, it wasn't easy for them to get him up on that roof, but that's exactly what those men did. They expended the energy and the time and the effort, everything that was needed to get him off of the ground up on the roof where they could let him down to the Lord Jesus. Then, when they got up there wasn't just a hole waiting on them. You know what they had to do? The Bible says they uncovered the roof. Maybe that wasn't such a hard job, but it took time, didn't it? Took time. It was something that they had to do. Energy had to be expended. What I'm saying to you is these men made some sacrifices. They had to make some sacrifices to get to that next level. Y'all following what I'm saying this morning? I can assure you that you will never get to that next level in your spiritual life without sacrifices being made. Sacrifices will have to be made. And this, by the way, is why many people don't care to move from where they are right now. They are comfortable in their Christianity. They have arrived at a certain level of spirituality and they're comfortable right there. And they've counted the cost. They realize that if they're going to move to that next level, take that next step, there's some sacrifices they're going to have to make. And so they don't care at all to move. They want to live and die right where they are at this time in their life. They're satisfied. It's not only why many don't care to move up. It's why many never will move up. It's why there's saved people who will live and die in the spiritual condition they're in right now, because they're not willing to make those sacrifices. They understand that to take that next step is going to require sacrifice. To take that next step, they're going to have to give more time and more energy and more effort to the things of God than what they're giving right now. And that's not to say that they aren't giving some time already or expending some energy or effort. They may be. But in order for them to move to that next step, it's kind of like working out with weights. You start working out or doing some kind of exercise, and you're doing the same thing week after week after week. Well, what happens is your body builds up to a certain level, right? What do you got to do to take it to the next level? Got to change it up a little bit, don't you? If you do the same thing week after week after week after week, you'll be right where you are and you won't go back. You'll maintain. And that's where a lot of saved people are at. That's where the majority of saved people are at. They're right there at that level and they're just maintaining. Just maintenance Christianity is what it is. They don't want to go to the next step. They're not willing to make that sacrifice or those sacrifices. They're just maintaining. But to get to that next level, to take that next step, some changes got to be made. And it's the same in your spiritual life. Some of you just maintain it. You've got to a certain level, and praise God you got there. Amen? Praise the Lord you got there. But that's where you've been for the last 10 years of your life. Maybe the last 20 years of your life. Some of you have been saved for a long, long time. Maybe you've been right where you are for 30 or 40 years now. And the reason why some of you won't ever take that next step, move to that next level, is because you realize to do that is going to require some sacrifice. You're going to change it up. You're going to have to devote more time and more effort, more energy to the things of God. And right now in your mind, you've given all you want to give. You're doing all you want to do. You don't want, because here's reality. To give more time, more effort, and more energy to the things of God, to what will take you to that next level, automatically, y'all listening to me? Y'all listening to me? Automatically means you're going to have to give less time to the things of this world that you enjoy doing. Right? There's no way you can devote more time to the things of God and more energy to the things of God, more effort to the things of God, without giving less to these things that you do, that you enjoy. And some people enjoy those things so much. And I'm not even talking about bad stuff here. I mean, it should be a given that to get to the next level, you got to give up bad stuff, right? That should be a given. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about those good things that's all right for us to enjoy. And I'm not saying you got to give those things up entirely. What I am saying is that you're going to have to moderate those things to move to the next level. Some of that stuff that you enjoy so much, you can keep doing it. You're just not going to be able to do it as much in order to get to that next level. And folks, there's a lot of saved people that are just not willing to do that. They're happy where they are. They enjoy doing this so much that they would rather just keep it like it is than make any changes. I can assure you, if you want to get to that next level, some sacrifices will have to be made. I think about a lady in the Bible, lady in the Old Testament, by the name of Ruth. Y'all remember Ruth? What a blessing, that story. I love that story. So many ways that thing can be applied, so much inspiration in that story. But you know, Ruth was the daughter-in-law to Elimelech and Naomi. She married one of their boys. I don't know if it was Mahlon or Chilion, but both of them were weak and puny. That's what their names mean, weak and puny. I don't know too many women whose desires to go marry somebody that's weak and puny. But that's who Ruth married, one of them boys. I don't know if she married weak or puny, but she married one of them. I bet Elimelech was happy about that. But listen to me. When Elimelech dies and Ruth's husband dies, Naomi decides she's going to go back eventually. She gets word down there in Moab, which is where they were. She gets word that God has visited his people and given them bread, and she's tired of Moab. She wants to get back home. When she decides to go, you know what Ruth says? Ruth says, you go, I'm going with you. I'm going with you. Let me ask y'all something. Did Ruth have to make some sacrifices to go with Naomi? You better believe she did. She had to leave behind her family, her friends, her entire life. She had to leave it behind so she could go with Naomi. But you know what? I don't think there was a day of her life where she regretted making those sacrifices. Do you? Because y'all know her story, don't you? She goes back and she winds up marrying a fellow named Boaz. He's rich. Wow, what woman don't want to marry a rich man, you know? He could buy her all the bling she wanted. I mean, she winds up marrying Boaz. They have a son. And she, this woman from Moab, do y'all understand, is in the line and lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. My point in this is that, yeah, you're going to have to make some sacrifices to get to the next level, but I've never met one human being in my entire life who regretted making those sacrifices. This is what I hear people say. It's what I've said myself. I've heard other people say it. Man alive, I hate that I wasted so much time where I was. I wish a long time ago I'd have made the decision to take it to that next level in my life. You never regret it. I think about the Apostle Paul who says, hey, I'm willing to count all things but dung that I may win Jesus Christ. He said that as a saved man. As a saved man. I'm willing to give up whatever I got to give up so I can have a richer, deeper, fuller relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Sacrifices will have to be made. Number three, I got to move on. Scripture, sacrifice. Thirdly, I want to say this. To take it to the next level, you're going to have separation. And in this particular case, I'm not really talking about separation like separation from things. I'm talking about separation from people. Do you realize, look at verse 2, there is a massive crowd of people gathered here at this house, right? In so much that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. Filled the capacity of the whole house. Standing room only. People everywhere. So many people there, they cannot get into where the Lord Jesus Christ is with the man sick of the palsy. But let me ask you this. Out of all of the people that were there, how many actually took it to the next level? Not counting the man that was toted up there. I'm talking about how many went up there on their own. Four. Four people out of the entire crowd said, you know what, we're going to get to the next level. Whatever it takes, whatever energy we have to expend, whatever sacrifices have to be made, we're going to get to that next level. Whatever it takes, we're going to get there. There was only four out of the entire crowd that said, we're going to get to that next level. Folks, if you're saved, number one, that puts you in the minority in this world. You realize that? There's a lot more lost people in the world than there are saved people. According to the Bible, that's the way it'd be, right? Well, let me narrow that thing on down for you. Not only are you in the minority if you're saved, you are really, really, really in the minority if you are one amongst the saved in this world whose heart's desire is to be everything you can be for the Lord Jesus Christ. You are really in the minority then. Because the majority of saved people are satisfied. They're saved, they're satisfied, they're content right where they are with no desire whatsoever to move on any further. They're just saved and satisfied, settled down right where they are, and they just go through the same old motions week after week, doing the same old things week after week, and they're just maintaining, they're not growing, they're not changing, they're never getting to that next level. That's where the majority of saved people are at. What I'm saying is that if you're going to get to that next level, you got to break away from that bunch. There's got to be some separation. I'm not talking about being mean or ugly or hateful or completely ostracizing these people or anything like that. I'm just saying that those kind of people can't be your constant companions because those people will keep you on the same level they're on. Or perhaps if you have made it beyond the level where they are, you know what they'll do? If you're not careful, they'll pull you back to where you are, where they are. You gotta be careful. Sometimes the brethren can be a hindrance. Sometimes saved people can keep you from moving on and taking that next step in your life. You gotta be careful about that. I think about David over in the Old Testament. Most of us in here know about David. Remember when his father sent him out to the battlefield to check on his brothers? Y'all remember that? He goes out to the battlefield, and when he gets there, he hears old Goliath make his big speech about sending a man from Israel to fight against him. And David says, hey, is there not a cause? Is there not somebody that'll step up and go out and fight this uncircumcised Philistine? He was willing to go, and those of us that have read the story know that he did go. Amen? He went. Do you know what happened before he went? He had three brothers that were in Saul's army. The oldest was a boy named Eliab. You know what old Eliab did when he heard David speak up and volunteer to go? He takes him off to the side and he rebukes him. He mocks him, makes light of him, belittles him, tries to make him think he can't do it. And then he accuses him of having pride and naughtiness in his heart. You know what Eliab was all bent out of shape about? I mean, let's just be real about it this morning. The fact that his younger brother, his youngest brother, by the way, showed up with more courage in his heart than he had. And him willing to go out on that battlefield and fight that giant exposed the cowardice that was in Eliab's heart. Didn't he have the same opportunity to go out that anybody else in that army did? You better believe it. He could have went out at any time he wanted, but not one time did he ever step up and say, Saul, I heard what that man's got to say, and I'll go out and fight him. Then David shows up, and he's willing to go. Listen, folks, his brother tried to hinder him from doing what he was willing to do. Say people will hinder you sometimes. Got to watch out. Be careful about those Christians that don't want to help you get to that next level and don't have a desire in their heart to get to that next level. You got to be careful. They'll either keep you where they are or they'll pull you back. I remember when I was in Bible college, this guy, he was a Marine, ex-Marine. He came to school down there. We were talking one day about the influence that people have on you and how folks all the time saying, I'm going to get involved with this person or be in this relationship and I'm going to bring them up to where I am. Y'all hear that kind of stuff? I'm going to tell you what, that's just from the devil is where that's from. Because about 99.9% of the time, you don't pull anybody up to your level. You wind up back on their level. And he illustrates this thing to me. We're in the kitchen area of our dormitory, and he says, get up on that stool right there. And I got up on the stool. I'm standing there. He said, now pull me up on this stool with you. Pull me up there. Man, I just laughed. I knew I couldn't pull him up there. I struggled. I tried. He said, pull on me. Pull on me. You know, he's an ex-Marine. He's hollering at me and all that. Pull me up on that level. Pull me up there, boy. Pull me up there. And I tried everything I could. I couldn't get one foot off the ground. He took one hand, did like that, snatched me down on the ground. It was a whole lot easier for him to bring me down than it was for me to bring him up. You understand? You better watch out for them saved people that's trying to pull you down. You know what happens when you get some fire about you and you take that next step, get on that next level, and there's some more spirituality about you? You know what that does? Why it bothers them so bad? Is exposes the carnality in their life. Better watch out. Got to have some separation. Here's the last thing, and I am done. I'm done. This is a point y'all been waiting on. Scripture, sacrifice, separation. Number four, to take it to the next level, you got to stay with it. You got to stay with it. It's not something that's going to happen instantly. When these guys brought the man to where Jesus was, they run into a big problem. It was a good problem. You know, wouldn't it be a good problem to have if we got here to church next Sunday and it was standing room only? That's the kind of problem that a pastor would like to have to deal with. Amen. But they run into a problem. They can't get him in. You know what they could have done? They could have, well, we tried. You know, we did more than the rest of this bunch down here. At least we did try to get him here. The problem is we're constantly comparing ourselves amongst ourselves, which the Bible says when we do that, we're not wise. Other people around us are not the standard, friend. The Lord Jesus Christ is the standard. Until you and I have done what he would do, we've not done enough. We've not done enough. And it would have been real easy for them to just, well, we tried. Just threw him down. Or just turn around and took him back home. They run into an obstacle. You know what they do? They begin to think, well, you know, what can we do now to overcome this obstacle? Somebody said, I don't know, maybe all four of them said, let's get up on the roof. And they get up on the roof, and they bust a hole in the roof, and they let the man down. You know what they did? They persevered. They stayed with it. They didn't give up when the going got tough. What's that old saying? When the going gets tough, the tough get going. Surrender to a problem doesn't need to be in our spirit, because there will always be problems, amen? There will always be obstacles. There will always be hurdles that we have to get over. There will always be potholes and detours that the devil tries to set up to discourage our heart from taking it to that next level. But when the going gets tough, the tough need to get going and press on through and stay with it. It's going to take some time for you to get to that next level. It's going to take some expended energy and effort. But I'm telling you, when you move to that next level, when you realize you finally broke through and you got to that next level in your life, you're going to be so thankful that you made the sacrifices you made. Let's bow our heads for prayer. While we're getting ready to have the invitation, I want to say this. The motivation for getting to that next level, number one, obviously, is to get as close to the Lord as you possibly can. But then number two, the closer you get to him, the more you're able to get people the help they need. Because those four men took it to the next level, they were able to get that man to the Lord Jesus Christ and get him the help he needed. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for letting us be in church. Please use the messages only you can. In Christ's name, amen. Brother Jimmy.